I welcome you to another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word, and invite you to join me in the book of Haggai. We had just barely got started on this book last session, and so I want to go back and reestablish our chronological anchor and background to this particular prophetic book. We know that the temple, according to God's judgment, was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. And then, also in accordance with God's prophetic word, Cyrus the Persian in 537 BC issued a decree that any ethnic Israeli that wished to do so could go back to the homeland of the Jews, back to the place of the temple, and help rebuild this desolated building and reestablish the worship of the Most High God. Well, Zerubbabel, a descendant of Solomon, and Joshua the high priest left Medo-Persia with a group of almost 50,000 ethnic Israelis and went to Jerusalem and reestablish the altar of worship, that is, the sacrificial altar, at the site of the temple. They did that by the fall of 537. And then, the next spring, in 536, they laid the foundational stones for the building of the new temple. Now, they probably levered up any of the ruined original temple foundation stones and put in their place newer ones. And this established the footprint of the new temple that Cyrus had decreed should be built and had it actually paid to have built. The Samaritans, as we are going to refer to them, the non-Israelis living to the north, then offered to assist in the rebuilding of this temple because in their mind, they were worshiping the same God. Now, they were actually worshiping the golden calf god of Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And so it was a twisted take on Judaism. And so Zerubbabel and Joshua say, you may not assist us in building this temple. And that triggered those people, and they began to cause the ethnic Israelis of the first return from Babylon all sorts of trouble. And they even lodged legal action against their rebuilding efforts, delayed them in the court, until finally, either in 536 or very shortly thereafter, the Jewish people gave up in their rebuilding of the temple. And so the temple has nothing going on for the next 15, 16 years until God has had enough and sends two prophets to insist that Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest get busy with the rebuilding effort and that the Jewish people quit dragging their feet in reestablishing the worship centerpiece of the Jewish people. And so the book of Haggai and the book of Zechariah are generated at this time in 520 BC. And so with that background, let's dive into Haggai again. Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius the king. Now, Darius here is several kings after Cyrus. Cyrus the Persian was followed by Cambyses, who was followed by Pseudo-Smerdis, and then came Darius. So Cyrus is now a historical figure. He is not present. So in the first day of the sixth month, the word of he who is came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So we know nothing about Haggai until this point. His name, by the way, has to do with a pilgrim, that is, a festival goer, someone who goes to the feasts at Jerusalem at the appropriate time. And so he was probably given that name in hopes of that being the case in his lifetime. And so Haggai in the summer, because the date that we're given here is later August of 520 BC, says this. Verse 2, thus says he who is of the hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of he who is. These people being the ethnic Israelis who have postponed, delayed, put on hold the building of the temple because they felt that, well, apparently it's not time yet. Verse 3, then the word of he who is came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? So God's challenge to these guys is, really? You don't think it's appropriate to rebuild the temple? And yet you're perfectly fine rebuilding all your houses and making them all nice and paneled? Verse 5. Now therefore, thus says he who is of the hosts, consider your ways. So think about your situation. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Now, what Haggai is describing here is that life in Judea is not all that easy. The crops are not producing as much as these returnees need to have a good life. They are not blessed. In fact, they are still feeling the effects of a curse upon them. And we'll see details about that in just a moment. So Haggai is trying to get them to think about it. This is all related to the fact that you're dragging your feet about honoring God with the rebuilding of his temple. Verse number 7. Thus says he who is of the hosts, consider your ways. So think about your situation. Go up to the hills, bring wood, and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says he who is. So get back to the building project. Get out there and get the materials and bring them down to the Temple Mount and get the place built. Verse 9, you looked for much, behold, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. So God is acknowledging here, I'm the reason that you're running low on supplies. I'm blowing what you get away. Why? Declares he who is over the armies. Because of my house that lies in ruins, which each of you busies himself, or while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew. So the weather pattern, the water pattern, has been disrupted by God, which is exactly what he said would be part of the cursing when they weren't living according to the covenant. And the earth has withheld its produce, which is a natural response from the weather pattern being disrupted. Verse 11, I've called for a drought on the land and the hills and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast and on all their labors. So God just lets them know here, I'm the reason that there is a drought right now. And the reason I'm doing it is because you aren't doing what I sent you back here to do, which is rebuild the worship complex at Jerusalem. Verse number 12. What's the reaction? Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of he who is their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as he who is their God had sent him. And the people feared he who is. So they responded with appropriate awe, fear of the one who can change the weather patterns. And then Haggai, the messenger of he who is, spoke to the people with he who is his message. I am with you, declares he who is. So the message that these guys are supposed to receive is, I am whom I am. And I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. But you aren't seeking my way of doing things, because I told you I was bringing you back here to rebuild the worship complex. And what are you doing instead? You're rebuilding your living complexes. So I want to be with you, but you have to want to be with me. Very good principle, isn't it? Verse number 14. He who is stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. So they are now feeling the need to get back to the building project after 16, 15, maybe 14 years of hiatus. So they came and they worked on the house of he who is of the host, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So it took about almost 3 weeks, just a little bit over that, for people to start acting on the message of Haggai. But once they did, they started getting the materials together and rebuilding October, middle of October of 520 BC. And almost instantly, that attracts the attention of the locals. We'll get to that in just a moment. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. Oh, excuse me. Let's go ahead and do the one out of Ezra first. This is from Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. Now the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah the son of Iddo, whom we've not met yet, will meet him soon, prophesied to the Jews who were in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Yeshua the son of Jehozadak arose and began to rebuild the house of God that was in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them supporting them. Okay, so that's the parallel out of the Ezra account to what we were just reading in Haggai. Now let's do chapter 2 of Haggai. In the seventh month, so now we've moved into the next month of the year, on the 21st day of that month. So that's pushing us into that's pushing us into the middle of October, before we were in the middle of September. So we've been at this almost a month now. That's how long the building project has been renewed. So the word of he who is came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Say to all the remnant of the people, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Now, we remember that at the foundation ceremony, there were some people that were old enough that they'd seen the Solomonic temple before it had been destroyed. And now they were back. And when they saw the foundation stones put in place, they wept over probably two things. Number one, that the original house had been destroyed. But number two, that the new house, the rebuilding project, was going to not be anything like the original. Now, this was not God's intention. We know that from the book of Ezekiel. We've talked about this. God gave them plans and instructions for building a very glorious house and a very glorious reestablishment of ethnic Israelis in the Promised Land. But that was only going to happen if they were completely repentant in their hearts and acted out of faith, which we're seeing here has not been the characteristic of this return. Yes, men like Zerubbabel and Joshua high priest are trying to get the people to do the right thing, but even a little bit of resistance and they give up. And so then we have to have the prophets come along, Haggai and Zechariah. And even with that, they're still not going to get the plans of Ezekiel built at this site. And so here is Haggai talking to whatever remains of those that were old enough to see the Solomonic Temple. And since we're now in the 68th year of Jerusalem's desolation, that is 68 years since the temple destroyed, that means that even the youngest kids back at that time are going to be in their 70s and 80s. And the adults from back at that time are going to be in their 90s and above. So it's a small group. But Haggai still uses them, says, look, it doesn't look like anything compared to Solomon's temple, does it? Verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares he who is. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares he who is. Work, for I am with you, declares he who is of the hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. So don't be afraid. Just do the right thing. Get this thing built like you're supposed to. Now, the reason for being told about not being afraid is going to be obvious in just a few minutes when we go back to Ezra. Verse number 6. For thus says he who is of the hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says he who is of the hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares he who is of the hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, declares he who is of the hosts, and in this place I will give peace, declares he who is of the hosts. Now we need to talk about this prophecy on two different levels here. Number one, we need to talk about the physicality of the house. We've already determined that this building project is not going to be anywhere near the glory of the Solomonic Temple. We know the Solomonic Temple had materials alone worth trillions of dollars in it. That's not even counting the expert work by artisans in putting it together. It was very beautiful, very well decorated, and had gold and silver in it. This temple, as I often say to you, is going to be a budget temple. When Cyrus gave the decree, he gave a very basic dimensional plan for the rebuilding of this temple. It didn't include the great big tower on the front that was part of the original Solomonic Temple, and it was just not going to be quite as glorious. And that is the reason why later in Jewish history, in the late 1st century BC, a man by the name of Herod, quote, the Great, end quote, that is well known to us in the New Testament. He, being Jewish by religion, and yes, he was not very good at that faith, but he, being Jewish by religion, because his great-grandfather or grandfather had converted to Judaism, so he, thinking of himself as a Jew, approached the Jewish people and said, I want to bring this temple up to the glory that it should be at, considering who it honors. And you can find his appeal to the Jewish people in the writings of Josephus. And he basically said, I want to spend all my money in order to bring it to a Solomonic sort of standard. And the Jewish people gave him leave to do so. And he renovated the shrine building, that is the worship building itself, in about a year and a half from prepared materials so that it could be almost modular, just kind of snapped together. And that temple included the great big glorious tower on the front of it. And then it was covered in gold and silver, a lot of beautiful carvings, huge stones. And then he turned around and spent the next decade and a half or so expanding the Temple Mount well beyond what Zerubbabel had originally used as the worship site when he came back to bring the worship of God back into place in the Holy Land. So the physical side of this prophecy in Haggai came to pass in the time of the New Testament, that is, Herod the Great and beyond. But the spiritual thing of it, which is much more important, is that this is the temple. This temple built by Zerubbabel and then renovated by Herod. It's this temple that the glory of God in physical form, Jesus Christ, Yehoshua HaMashiach, it's into this temple that he comes and ministers and does his work as Messiah. And then it is at this site, this temple, this holy city that is being rebuilt, that he gives himself up as the peace offering. And so this is the place where the latter glory of this house is going to be greater because the Messiah will be in this house. And this place is going to be where God gives peace between himself and sinners through the sacrifice of Jesus. So that's how those prophecies, I think, are much more importantly fulfilled in the time of the New Testament. Well, in the few minutes we have left, let's go back over to the historical section of Ezra chapter 5, verse number 3, and see how the troublemakers began trying to stop the building. Now, these guys don't have as hard an attitude toward the Jewish people as did the Samaritans from earlier, the guys just north of them. But they do have a problem with the building. So it's Ezra chapter 5, verse 3. At that same time, Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, the province beyond the river is from the perspective of the Medo-Persians. So everything south of the Euphrates that belongs to the Medo-Persian Empire is under this guy's control. He is under Darius, Tattenai. And he's associated with Shethar-Bozenai and their associates. And so these guys came together to Jerusalem and spoke to them, meaning the builders. Who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish this structure? See, this is a major building project happening inside the boundaries of the Medo-Persian Empire. That means it needs a building decree. It has to have permission. And so this guy says, who gave you permission to do this major building project in my area? And they also ask this, what are the names of the men who are building this building? So they want to know who is potentially liable for this unauthorized building project. Verse 5, but the eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews, and they did not stop them until the report should reach Darius, and then an answer be returned by letter concerning it. So the Jewish people, under Zerubbabel, Joshua, Haggai, Zechariah, their response is, we already have authorization. They may have even shown their authorization from King Cyrus. But as I said, Cyrus is gone. He is dead. He is several sovereigns back in history. And so Tattenai, the governor of the below the Euphrates province, says, okay, I'm going to be checking on the authenticity of this decree that you are claiming. But he apparently did not tell them they had to stop. And they refused to stop anyway. They just keep working. And so Tattenai is going to write a letter of inquiry to his boss, Darius. And he will basically be saying, I am being told by the Jewish people that they have authorization to rebuild their temple to their God. Is that true? Do you agree, as the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, as emperor, that they should be allowed to continue their work and finish it? And so we will, when we come back tomorrow, look at that letter that was generated by Tattenai and see the response of Darius and how God is in control of this whole situation of getting the temple rebuilt.